be thankful for. Amen? I hope you realize how much you have to be thankful for. Did anybody eat dinner yesterday? Well, you all had a lot to be thankful for, didn't you? You all slept in a nice bed last night. How about saying thank you, Lord? How many of you woke up this morning? When you went to sleep last night, that wasn't promised to you. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Let's stand up and pray together and have a good day in the Lord. God has blessed us with a foundation here at the church to build upon and grow upon, and your pastor's not going to give up ever and give in, because I believe God more every day in my life, and I want to preach about God more every day. I'm on fire for God. So I believe that great mighty things are ahead for us and blessings to follow. So thank you, Lord, for this day. We celebrate those in attendance. Lord, we ask you to touch those who aren't here yet, whether it be for the virus or whether it be for anything else, Lord, that you bless them and touch them. Let them know that they are missed and loved in this house, in your house, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We're just going to sing praises and have a good time in the Lord in this house. In Jesus' name, I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
If anything you learn reading the Bible is if you do things like they did in the Bible, God will bless you beyond what you even imagine. Amen?
Amen.
David, a man after God's own heart, was he perfect?
No.
No. Did he make mistakes?
Yes.
Did God bless him?
Yes.
Yes, why? Because he loved God. That song is, if you pray like David prayed, there's greater things ahead. If you sing like this, if you come to church like Anne Marie and get her running around dancing, God will bless her with that spirit. Once you get that spirit inside of you, you can't slow it down. And who would want to? Amen?
Amen.
Anne Marie, we need to get you on fire. Amen?
Yeah.
You're getting married.
I know.
That's the rumor, anyway. Dark like that. Spirit of the Lord, right?
This is an original.
Live in a beautiful condo in East Haven, and it was on fire. Four units were destroyed, but there was a firewall, thank you, Lord, between their condo and the last condo to burn. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing in their condo was touched. Nothing was ruined. Nothing was destroyed. Now, there's smoke, of course. Anybody knows about fire. And the next day, somebody that they knew said, you can live in my condo, which is right there in the same, right across. They can see their condo from the condo that these people are allowing. And that's God. God opened that door immediately. There was no hesitation. No hesitation.
Some of the people still have nowhere.
Please don't say things could have been worse. The truth is, he's got guitars and music, and she's got her life and plants and animals, and nothing was hurt, nothing was destroyed. God had his hand over that. That wall worked, and their tribute and testimony to God's blessing. He gave God blessing because they came to our church just a few weeks before that, and he kind of put that together. Whether we understand what he was saying, he came to, he's a beautiful, they're beautiful people of God. They love God. But he said because we came to the church, they felt like God had his more. See, that's how you do it with God. Amen. That's how you see God in your life, saying the things that you do daily. And I'm going to just say, Stephen is an amazing singer and guitar player, and I'm going to pray that if he gets another Sunday and we work this out, that he can actually come up here and play a song with his sister and his sister's church and sing a song together in church. I think that would be a good idea. I know that. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in this church. Thank you for all these people here today. And
thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's your God, and he's in heaven, and give him praise this morning. Let him hear you. Thank you, Lord. It's between you and God. Sometimes you can be seated, take your shoes off, sit back and relax, unless the person sitting next to you would prefer you didn't take your shoes off. That's between you and your neighbor. Between you and God. Everything you say and everything you do, every prayer that you use, every word that you say out of your mouth from your lips, as James said, your tongue, God hears those words. When you pray to God, if you pray like David, God hears that prayer. When you say vile things and say things against God, God hears that. So you need to approach God in prayer with such beautiful love and so much affection and so much tenderness, and approach God with ready for thanksgiving. I pray to you this morning, I tell you as a pastor, please do never go to God with a request before thanking him. When you go to somebody's house for dinner, how many bring a dessert? When you go over to somebody's house for Christmas, you bring a present. Don't come to God and ask Him for something without bringing something. Bring Him, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity for me to be able to come to you without having to go between somebody else to get to you. Thank Him. Give Him thanks and remind Him that you're thankful for the blessings that you do have in your life. Because we have so many blessings. More people would give anything to be here today. There's people in nursing homes that would give anything to get out of that bed, get in the car, and be here today. You're here today. There's a lot to be thankful for, even your life. Amen? So don't just hold on to that. It's between you and God. When you pray to God, James, I don't recognize you without your feather, brother. He's one handsome young fellow. What did you pick out for us, Marilyn? Psalm 32. Are you all ready?
Yeah.
I hope so. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. When I kept quiet, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. Thank God it's only for a season. I acknowledge my sin to you, Lord, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to you, Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Boy, you don't know how powerful that mercy is, forgiveness and forgiving others. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. What do you got to do for joy? Shout it. That's why I'm trying to tell you, make noise for God. Those people on the green don't hear anything. They're going to say nothing's going on in here. The town of Derby doesn't hear anything. They think nothing's going on in here. And that's our fault. Amen. You can't blame the news. You can't blame. You blame what we don't do. Amen. God is ready for blessings. He's not run out of blessing. He's in the blessing business. Isn't that great? I want to be with that God. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord. Why don't you get started, right? Thank you, God. What was the name of Abraham's third wife? How many know that Abraham was married three times? How many, when you hear about the woman at the well and Jesus said, you had five husbands, you say, man, she must have been nuts. She had five husbands, right? She had five what? That means she married five people. Abraham had three wives. Do you look at him the same way? What kind of a guy was that? What was the name of his third wife? Was it Hannah? Was it Martha? Or was it Keturah? Who was the name of Abraham's third wife? How many think it was Hannah? Did he marry Hannah? How many think it was Martha? That's Walter. How many think it was Keturah? See? Wow. David, which one did you pick?
Yeah.
Hannah. Abraham's third wife was Keturah. K-E-T. I thought that was like an easy, I thought that was like a hanging curveball. So next time you read about the wife with the lady with the five husbands, Jesus didn't yell at her, did he? He didn't call her names and say, oh, you're married. No, Abraham was married three times. Hello. What color does the Bible say Esau's hair was? Esau, E-S-A-U, Esau. What color? He's a twin. How many know Esau was a twin? And his twin brother was Jacob. So what color was his hair? Was he blonde? Was his hair black? Or was his hair red? How many think his hair was blonde? How many think his hair was black? How many think his hair was red? It says in Genesis, and the first one came out red hair like a hairy garment. He had red hair. All right, good. Now, you know, Cyrus is in the Bible, the Cyrus guy. Cyrus was the king of what country? Was he the king of Syria? Maybe. Was he the king of Palestine? Or was he the king of Persia? How many think that Cyrus was king in Syria? Anybody? How many think Palestine? We got some power. How many think he was the king of Persia? Simon was the king of Persia. It's important when you study these things to know who these people are. It really is. The more you study the Bible, the more you want to study. Because when you learn something, anybody ever learned something and say, I figured it out, now I want to learn more. Amen. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't get great, you don't do great things without learning more. Amen. When a doctor discovers how to use one thing, he gets excited and he wants to use it in more other things. So what did God stir King Cyrus of Persia to do? Did he stir him up to build the temple in Jerusalem? Did he stir him up to destroy the temple in Jerusalem? Or did he stir him up to free the Israelites? How many think God built to build the temple in Jerusalem? How many think to destroy the temple in Jerusalem? And how many think to free the Israelites? That's what God did. What did God stir the king of Cyrus to do? To build the temple in Jerusalem. And I got two more. I know this. I'm excited. I get all these things. I don't want to let them go. How was Lot related to Abraham? Anybody remember Lot? You know, when Lot and his wife turned into a pillar of salt. So he just scraped a little off on his corn on the cob at night. And I guess it wasn't iodine then. How was Lot related to Abraham? Was Lot his grandson? Was Lot his nephew? Or none of the above? Was Lot actually related to Abraham? How many think that Lot was his grandson? Anybody? How many think that Lot was his nephew? Anybody? How many think none of the above? Lot was Abraham's brother's son. Lot was Abraham's nephew. I got one more. One more. God said, who said it? You remember Amos in the morning, Greg? Yeah. Remember how he used to say, God, God, God. Rush Limbaugh used to say he had talent on loan from God. So somebody said God got some of his talent back. When there was, anyway, God said, let us make man. Oh, I just said, let us make who in our image? How many think Adam? How many think Eve? How many think man? Yeah, see? Even Deacon Sergio is mad at me. Now look at him. I didn't mean it. God said, let us make who in our image? Are you sure? All right, that's it. Give yourself a hand. You did pretty good on the quiz, y'all. Oh, Lord, pray for me. Thank you, Lord. This is very... Talk to my wife about this. Who would be missing in your family members' pictures? Who would be missing? That's a horrible thought, amen? Who would be missing if one of your family members were never born? Pick one of your family members. One of them. Anybody, your uncle, your aunt. Who would be missing? That an entire branch of your family never existed because of one choice. Stay with me. Please pray with me. Children are a miracle from God. We are created in His image. We just said that. You and I were formed in the womb. Imagine what would not be here. Imagine who would not be here if you were not allowed to be born today. If you were not never born, who would not be here today? Who would be missing? Who would be eliminated from the picture? Children are a gift from God. Who would not accept a gift from God? Who? Anybody here? That's kind of crazy, right? At what cost? At what cost would you say no to God for the gift? God created man and woman so that life would continue. It is God's intention that life should continue. That's why He made them. Can I get an amen? A man and a woman. A man and a woman. He made man and woman so life would continue. A man and a woman alone have that responsibility to be ready to create life. There's no other way without a man and a woman. No other way. Can I have an amen? Thank you. To disregard with blatant acts of self-serving needs, uncaring of the cost of one's free choice, is simply an act of pure selfishness on both parties. Let me say that again. To disregard with blatant acts of self-serving needs, uncaring of the cost of one's free choice, is simply an act of pure selfishness on both parties. It is self-gratification that is chosen freely, as if tempting fate with zero responsibility for one's choice. Let me read that again. It is self-gratification that is chosen freely. Chosen how? Freely. As if tempting fate with zero responsibility for one's choice. It is also disrespectful for both parties, but even more to the one who will carry the responsibility for life either way. Either way. To choose to create a life or to choose unprotected pleasure brings life-changing responsibilities. It is no longer just the two. There is now another heart, another smile, two hands, two feet, two eyes, and two arms reaching out to be loved. That's what your mother and your father knew. That is what your grandparents knew, what your great-grandparents knew. That is how you're here today to hear this message. You're only here for one way that you're here today, because your parents and your grandparents and great-grandparents continued what God created. That's how you're here today to hear this message. No matter how you feel about pro-life or pro-choice, nothing changes. Nothing. We are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of who? Every baby is created in the image of God. God is sending to us these babies. He knows their hearts, their lives, and all they will or would have accomplished. Amen? There's only one George Washington. How many? One Martin Luther King. You think of the greatest men in your life, the greatest people in your life. How many are there? One. My daddy, when I was 12 years old, went to Griffin Hospital. He had cancer. He went to the hospital, and they sent him home. They said, Peter, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you, and they sent him home to pass away. The next day, my brother brought him to Yale New Haven Hospital. There was a man there named Dr. Kushner, 12 years old. I remember that man like it was yesterday. He saw my father. He operated on my father. My father had many more years of life after that. Many more years of life after that. I got to grow up a little bit with my dad and hunt with my dad and fish with my dad because of Dr. Kushner, not looking at it as an end. He saw that what he had to do, and because his greatness and because of his knowledge, my dad lived another 16 years. Amen? 16 wonderful years. So Dr. Kushner is great in my eyes. But if somebody had chosen his life before, then he was never here before, I would have lost my dad at the age of 12. You think of how many people do you know, the greatest people in your life, the greatest celebrities, the great, that would, there's only one. There's only one Jonathan Winters, right? Stephen Jonathan Winters, right? There's only one of those guys. Only one Jimi Hendrix, only one Elvis, only one Sinatra. We pray to God. We all do. We pray, Lord, help us. How many have done that? You all have. Say, Lord, save us. How many have done that? We all have. Say, Lord, heal us. How many have done that? We all have. Yet we so easily choose to remove that one chance, one life who may have been the one who cured diseases of all kinds. Or maybe he was one whose music would move generations. The one who was capable of answering your prayer. So I just tell you this morning. Don't tell me. What do you say to God? And I ask you, who would you eliminate from your picture of life? That's life. That's the cost of everything that's happening. We have to see it. God knew you in the womb. You were formed in the womb. I was formed in the womb. I thank God. I thank God that I have the chance to live, as we all do. You have to see it and understand it's not a battle of pro-choice and pro-life. It's a battle of life itself. It's a battle of existence. Somebody great, you've been praying to God, help me, Lord. We've been praying for diseases to be cured. And how do we not know that someday we go to God and say, what happened? He said, I sent them to you. I sent her to you twice, three times, four times. I did it. You refused. That's the difference. That's what we're talking about. That's where we got to lift the conversation up away from people and go to God. So what would you say to God? Who would you eliminate from? That's what you have to look at. Because if somebody in your life wasn't born, you might not be here today. If you weren't born, your children wouldn't be here today. If one of your children weren't born, your grandchildren wouldn't be here today. Is that worth the cost? So you talk to God. And my whole heart about this all week, I've been struggling with this in the sense of struggling how to do it right, to talk about God. I want to look just like we said about America last week. We pray to God to bless America. I dare anybody talk against my God and say this land isn't blessed because we've asked God to bless it. Are there fools in this country? Of course. Are there people evil? Yes, of course. But I ask God to bless this nation, and people are coming from all over the world to be in a nation that is blessed by my God. That's why I went last week and lifted up to God. I lift this issue up. This is a very hard issue to talk about, but I lift it up to God. I get it out of your head. Get it out of your... You go to God and you tell him why you think it's okay. Amen. You go to God and you say, well, my religion said it's okay, or any excuse you have, you don't take it to me any longer. You take it to God. Because one choice would have changed the picture. And remember that picture, Back to the Future? Remember that? It was a great picture. It was a great movie, Back to the Future. And he had that picture, and he's looking at the picture, and he said to the doctor, why are people fading? He said, because you're changing. You're changing the history. And if you change the history, those people in the picture will have never existed. So I ask you, who in your life would you want to never exist? What great person would you want to never exist? Lift it up to God, children. That's how you fight the battles. Everybody wants to know how to fight these battles. You lift it up to God. You lift that up to God with those people. Don't argue with those people. You can't change their mind, but you can tell them about God, and you can lift them up so they have to look a little higher than your face. Amen? Because God has some wonderful answers, and God has wonderful strength for you and for us believers. I believe God has the answer. Amen? That's why I'm here today, and that's what we're talking about. So you give him praise this morning as we pray. Give him praise, church. Give him praise that you're here today. He gave you a mother and a father and a grandmother and a grandfather, because without them, you wouldn't be here. So Lord, let us understand when we say, hear our prayer, Lord, that we're lifting it up to you. That we want you to answer our prayer. We want you to be a part. We want to do things your way, Lord. We want to see it your way. We want to argue your way. We want to stand on this word. Not on our opinions, not what we feel, but on your word. The Bible says you knew us in the womb before we were formed. It's that simple. Take it up with God. We don't want to hear about a circumstance or a situation. That's lowering the bar again. We want to hear from God. Whatever choice you make is between you and God, but it's a lot of choices. There's not just one choice. When that baby is conceived, there was a lot of choices made. We have to understand that each choice is against God. Have to understand the mistakes that people make and lift it up so people would see that. I want people to see God. I want people to see God heal our land. I want people to see God heal our homes. I want to see blessings fall on this church like nobody in this town or the state ever thought possible, because I think my God is possible. I think all things are possible with our God. That this we could be a great church because we preach the word of God. And we teach the word of God, and with peace and with joy. So I pray that this morning you receive something more this morning, that you want more of that God. You want to know more, and you want to be able to discuss more. So with this knowledge and this wisdom in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, church. Come on, celebrate today. Dance like David danced. Pray and sing like David. This church would be known all over the world. We went nuts like that, everybody would have to see what God can do, what God wants to do, what God wills to do. Amen? Amen. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming open upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days, Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cry of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Whew. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Wow, pretty powerful stuff, amen. Is he talking about wealth? No. I want to remind you, in the Bible, Solomon was very rich. Amen. David. Who else? Job. You all talked about Jacob. He was very wealthy. God wills that we prosper. Who is this talking to then? This is talking to those who got their money and kept it and did not pay people right, did not do right by it. Come now, you rich, weep and howl, for your miseries are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be witness against you. Will eat your flesh like fire. You have eaten upon treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers having reached the ears of the Lord. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Hallelujah. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Who said that? Jesus. Did he say he doesn't like rich people? No, he said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why would that be? Why would this man in the Bible be talking so harsh to people with money? Because that becomes their God. That becomes their Savior. They trust in their money. They keep their money. They hoard their money. They put their money in their pocket. They have people working for them. They don't pay them freely. They have people doing things for them and they cheat them. They cheat the scales. They put extra weights on the scales and cheat the people buying the produce. That's what he's saying. And this is a beautiful proverb. This one might make you say, ah, I see that. This is interesting. Proverbs 5 says, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. When you're very wealthy people, you see very wealthy people today, and they have their money and they keep it locked in the safe. But they don't understand, when they pass away, who's going to spend it? People they never knew. Are they going to care about that person? No. Are they going to have any feelings for? No. They're going to spend it. Are they going to spend it the way he wanted them to spend it? No. It's going to go to foreigners, people he's never met, aliens. Aliens be filled with the wealth and your labors. Other people are going to take over your farm. Other people are going to take over your land. Other people are going to do things with your wealth that you have nothing to say about it. That's why it's so powerful to God for us to understand that. He wants you to prosper. I want everybody in this church to prosper. I wish we all had brand new cars, if that was your desire. And able to tell God why you got that job, why you had that car. Amen. God wants us to prosper. He doesn't want the focus. See, understand? That's what this man in the Bible is talking about. The focus. The evil of the desire and how that money is going to be worthless. It's going to be worthless to him because he's not even going to be here to see it, to spend it. So what is the value of it? Zero. But when you have mercy and compassion and you help other people, I'm not saying give away. Nobody gives away their money. But you want to help your children and their children and your grandchildren and your friends. You want to lift them up. You want to do good things. Amen. That's mercy and compassion. That's what God is calling us to do. These people in the Bible that this man's talking about are people who cheated other people. Rich men who had all this money, who could have helped so many other people, decided, nah, I'm just going to keep it. It'll do me good. One day when I die, it'll be there and I won't know anything, but it'll do me good. I can sleep at night knowing that. Amen. That's what's happening. Thank you, Lord. Solomon, David, and Job. Anybody remember Job? Do you remember the blessings? Now, he had that time where he was, you know, the devil came in and he lost everything, but God replenished everything even more than he had before. Job was a very wealthy man. Land and livestock and everything that he had. God is not against wealth. Can I get an amen? However, let's read a little further. Therefore, be patient. God, that's a Bible word. Lord, that's hard. Faith, God makes it hard sometimes. He puts them little tiny words in. You know, like forgive? He's just saying, be patient. Until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earth and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He uses a farmer. How simple is that? I say it every week, but people say, oh, the Bible is so hard to understand. Anybody know what a farmer is, by the way? Is that hard to understand? And a farmer plants the crop in the springtime, right, Jim? And he doesn't go out every day looking to see if the crop's ready. What does he have to do? He has to be what? Patient. But he's done all this work. He's turned the soil over in the spring, and he's put the fertilizer, and he's working, and then he plants the seeds. He goes out the next day, where's my potatoes? Where's my tomatoes? Where's my fruit? Where's my corn? It doesn't happen that way, amen? But what's he doing? He's tending to the ground. How many know you got to water it every once in a while, amen? So he's got to go out and he's got to put water. He's got to tend the ground. And he's got to keep it safe, and he's got to take the weeds out. So he takes the weeds out so the plants will be better. He's got to remove weeds. Imagine that. Anybody got any weeds you got to remove? Yes, that's what he's saying. We're the farmer every day. You're a farmer every day. You wake up with your farm and you plant all this stuff, and now you want to see it. I want to see it today. God said it ain't ready yet. I don't care. Anybody make a meal and decide the husband's mad, he wants it now, and you take it out, it wasn't ready. What's that going to taste like? Not good. As we're saying, farmers, this man is comparing us to the easiest thing to understand. Plant. So when you pray, you're planting your seed. When you're good to people, when you have mercy and compassion, you're planting seed. You don't wake up the next day and say, I was good to that person tomorrow. Well, I'm going to see something good today. No, it doesn't work that way. See, you got to be patient. You got to just trust God. You may have to do some weeding of your own. I mean, that's what the whole Bible. When I tell you how to argue with people, not argue, but debate people with God. Don't debate the person. You'll never change their mind. But talk about God. When you say to somebody, boy, you're trying to take this speck out of my eye, but you got this plank in your eye. You understand what that means when you're talking to somebody? Say, boy, you're sure carrying that plank in your eye while you're trying to take the speck out of my eye. That tells the person, hey, you better look at what you're doing first before you come to me with a problem. See, everybody's got some weeds to take out. We got to stop doing that. We're going to read in a minute. You have to stop grumbling with one another. You have to. I'm telling you, let me say it again. You have to. If you want a church to be strong, you have to stop grumbling with one. So we don't grumble. Sometimes we do. We have people leave a church because they don't like something somebody said. Well, why don't you come to me? I beg you, if there's anything you need or anything you want, you come to me. You come to Doreen. You just come to me and say, this is something that I was. Somebody came to me last week and said, I like singing on that hymnal. I said, thank you. We're going to do that. Somebody came to me a couple of months ago and said, how come we don't do the pray to the Lord, you know, hear our prayer, Lord. I said, you know, I don't know, I forgot. So guess what we do now? We do it again. You see, because we all work together. If we listen, amen, instead of grumbling, they didn't grumble, say, I wish they did that. I'm not going to come here because they don't. No, they said, how come we don't do that? And I said, you know what? That's a great idea. Let me pray on it and we'll do it. Because it's about God and the Bible, amen. It's about God. Now, if you have an idea, here's the other thing. I love this. If you've got an idea, we should. You know what we should do, Pastor? We should have this or we should do that. You know what my answer is going to be? Do it. Do it. Don't be telling me what you should do. Do it. Amen? Because we need people to do it. Well, I know David said you and Cindy might do some of the garden. We have the garden. I've been praying about Miss Gladys and Art made that garden outside. And this young lady here wants to work in the garden with you, David, if that's Shelley wants to be. But I said, for 2 years now, you know, Gladys worked in, they got cactuses out. She did it. She came 2 or 3 times a week and worked in the garden. Nobody saw them. But when they came here on Sunday, I said, whoa, look at that. We had another couple. They used to put flowers in the things, in the steps. You ever see those little flower pots going up? We had somebody who would come once a week, twice a week, water them, put real flowers in there so the church looked beautiful. They left. And the flowers are gone. You see, nobody does it. You could do it. You don't have to wait for me to do it. They didn't wait for me to do it. They didn't ask me. They came and they said, we're going to put flowers in it. And they did it. And when everybody came, guess who got blessed? All of us. You didn't know that they did it. You don't might even know who they were. Some of you do because your neighbors are theirs. But it was nice. Somebody. So when you come to me for something that I can do, I hear you. I want to hear you. Amen. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. I don't know about you, but I work hard for my money, and I know you do too. Just the thought of somebody you never met before taking over your bank account and spending all that money without any thought of you, that's kind of interesting to me. How many know on Route 34, on the way to New Haven, on the right-hand side, anybody remember all those beautiful cornfields? Just absolute beautiful cornfields right on 34, right here. That people who owned that property, they grew that corn for the cows and for the farms, and it looked beautiful. In the summertime, all the fields of corn. Anybody drive by there and see what you see today? Nothing but condos. Nothing. Nothing but condos. Those people who owned that land before loved that land. They loved what they did, and they did it for other people. They made that corn, and they sure they made a profit. I hope they made a profit with all that, but they loved it. They saw, and as soon as they passed away, foreigners came. Aliens came. Might have been their grandkids. I don't know. I'm not saying they did anything wrong, amen? I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but the first thing they did was, how much money can we get for this? See, the people owned it before. They didn't care about the money. They wanted to work it. The next group of people behind them said, hey, Grandpa left us all this. Let's spend it. Let's sell all this land. And they had no care for how many houses are built. They're beautiful. They're beautiful homes. But it's not the same, is it? It's not as beautiful, is it? See? So but while they lived, that's what they tended to. That's why I'm saying to you, you never know with all the wealth that you have, who's going to spend it anyway. And keep it. Really, really do well with it. You know, Doreen and I need it. You know, we're getting older in that sense that we need help with what to do with it. But the thing, the truth is, we want to do it God's way. We want to do it right. We want to be blessed and be able to bless our children and our grandchildren. That's what life is all about. So we don't see it as something we have to hang on to. We see it as a blessing from God. Thank you, Lord. Wealth is a funny thing, is it not? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, which whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from where? God. Yes. Hallelujah. God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every good gift is from who? God. Yeah. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Ooh, there's another one in them words. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, a brand new car, a big boat, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Amen. You should do that. If there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and you treat him like royalty. Why? Because he had what? Money. Because he was rich. You treat him. You don't know the man, but you see the man. You never met the man, but he's got riches, so he must be smart. He's not, maybe he's not a carpenter. Maybe he's not an engineer. Maybe he's not, maybe he doesn't have wisdom in the world. Maybe he was smart at one thing and he's really good at computers, or maybe he made billions of dollars. Does that make him smart, or that he was smart at something? But people raise them up. Amen. It says that we shouldn't. If there comes in your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel and a poor man, you're going to favor the rich man. You're not going to favor the working man. Let's call him the working man, the carpenter who's out all day long and building things for people, creating things for people, like Brother Andre, building walls for people, the houses, making their house beautiful. This man knows how to treat people, knows how to care for people. He knows how to take care of people. He knows how to make a living. He knows how to run a business. He's somebody maybe we should talk to about business. Amen. Amen. He's somebody that's successful. He doesn't drive around in a big Cadillac. He doesn't have billions of dollars, but he has life, and he knows how to treat. Those are the kind of people that we should talk to. Amen. Yet, we tend to listen or even follow those who have amassed great wealth, almost belittling those who have created businesses and have that kind of wisdom. We do that all the time. We do that in this world today. We listen to people who've made billions of dollars. Like somehow they have wisdom, God wisdom. We listen to them. They don't know your life. That's the thing we're going to talk about. I mean, my granddaughter said, "You don't know my life." We don't know their life. We know that they're wealthy about something, but we don't know. They don't know us. We don't know. But yet we listen. They put them on TV. How many know? I'm telling you the truth. The richest men in the world, they put them on TV like they have something important to say. They have people in Hollywood, actors and actresses, they're in commercials. Why? Because they're rich and they have something to say. Really? Do you understand? We lift them up. We make all of a sudden what they say more important than what you think and what you feel. And how they can control us because of that money. We allow that. We lifted them up because of their wealth. We didn't lift up the farmer. We didn't lift up the builder, the carpenter, the construction worker, and the engineer. We lifted up somebody because he was blessed in America and became a billionaire. Well, we must have to listen to him. We listen to people in sports. We don't listen to the 50 other people on the team, right, Sergio? We listen to the one person. We go to one, oh, this guy, this basketball player, he makes $40 million a year. We must listen to him. Why? What has he done in his life that we should listen and make him be the voice of what we should do in life? What has he done? What has the actor done? What is it? Anybody created anything for us and for God? The things that we could do for God with that kind of money. Amen. How many have ever thought that? We see a commercial on TV, $11 a month. $11 a month for Tunnels to Towers to buy these soldiers a house, a little house. Make them $11. They got to come on TV and tell me $11 a month will help that. I said, what? $11 a month? What is going on? Where's the wealth saying we want to help? Where's the wealth saying we can help that? Yet we lift these people up like they have this wisdom that we need to listen to. They have a complaint. Somehow their complaint is greater than yours. Why? Why, Yvonne? Because they got billions and you don't? You know, something happens in their family, and I'm sorry. I really am. My heart, when one of their parents, somebody passes away or their friend, and it's all over the news, they said, time out. Now, my brother died 2 years ago. Where's the report? That was my guy. My dad died. Where's the report? So if somebody else's person who's a billionaire passed away, oh, the whole world's got it. We got to shut down for a day. Why? I'm sad that he died. But what about my dad? When he died, nobody shut down anything. What about your dad, your mom? Because we lift these people up like they're somebody. We lift up this. And I'm going to close right here. This is what you lift up. You want to argue with people, argue with this. Use God's word. Don't fight. Don't grumble. Please, we'll get to that next week. But don't grumble. Don't fight with one another. Don't complain. When you're complaining, God hears what your lips are saying. Here's what your tongue is saying. Stop complaining and stop giving them thanks. Start giving them thanks and see God. See God in every way of life. That's how you discuss and debate people who come against you. Because they're coming against God. You're not going to change their mind ever, ever. You're not going to change somebody's mind, but you can change the heart of the people. You can change and bring it to compassion until people see the truth. This is the truth. I love this book more than I get into this book, and I turn page after page, and I go to my commentaries, and I go digging in. I even found out today what the Ides of March is because of this book, because I wanted to know. If you want to know about God, he's right here. Don't grumble. Love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Whoops. don't have vengeance in your heart. Do not repay evil for evil. Whoops. But there's people preaching that we need to get paid back. We need to have that. Where is it in this book? That's what you say to these people. It's not in this book. It says, don't repay evil for evil. The sins of the father are not on the children. It says it in this book. Life begins in the womb. God knew you before you were created. Don't give me no excuse about some alleyway. Don't give me no excuse about some incense. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about life and where it's created. And we're talking about people who have made multiple choices to get to that point where there's a life. And understand this, it's the woman. It's the woman who's going to carry that either way. The guy, oh, she rejected it. That's what I'm going to, well, you're going to take care of it. But it's the woman. Whether she has one or not, whether she has the baby or not, she lives with that the rest of her life. The choices that you make, to get to that choice, you need to bring it up to, you need to talk about God. How can you even consider that? How can anybody even consider that? Now you have, they write to the same excuse. Well, what if it's the father? We're not talking about that. We're talking about God. We're talking about God. If something happens in your life and you have to make a choice that's against God, you go to God. Have anybody here ever done anything against God? I'm going to stand on a chair just so you know I can get high enough. I've made so many lousy choices in my life. I've said so many things that are abominations to God in my life. To be standing here today is a miracle of God. But I tell you this, if you judge me, you better judge Paul. You judge me, you better start judging Paul because he killed Christians for a living. If you judge me, you better judge David because he had somebody's husband murdered so he can be with the wife. You better start judging if you're going to judge me. But I love this book, and God has changed my life, and I want him to change yours in a way that you can't even believe it. This is our God. Give him praise today, this morning. Sometimes things don't feel fair or don't seem right. Those are good times to go to God and say, God can fix this. I don't want to fix it. I don't know how to fix it. Go to God. God will fix it. God will bring people. God will bring somebody else to talk to. If somebody's bothering you, God will bring somebody to talk to them. That's what you pray for. You pray for a heart. You have that compassion. You walk the way God wants you to walk. Other people will have to walk that way to get to you. See? You start talking like God wants you to talk. Other people are going to have to talk like that to get to you. And God performs miracle. And maybe sometimes, faith, something happens in your life. And it's not a test or a trial, but something happens in your life. And you can use it as a test or a trial. See, God doesn't put that. But when things happen, and how many people know things happen in your life every day? Things you don't like or disagree. So it's not a test from God, but it's your chance to use it as a test from. It's a test. How am I going to stand it? This isn't right. But what am I going to do? Am I going to get angry? Because I used to get angry all the time. I used to be stubborn all the, I can't even begin to tell you. I don't want to tell you. But I did it. We all like that. But when you got God, you say, no, that's not how God wants. So if God answers, but when God answers one of your prayers, it'll change your life forever. When you see it that way, all of a sudden, things that bothered you don't bother you anymore because God's going to fix it. That's it. But if you walk with him, other people have to walk with him to get to you. When you talk like him, other people have to talk like him to get to you. Understand the difference. See, you're using God. Amen. That's the power of the Word of God. And that's where you get the wisdom and the knowledge in the book, not from your pastor. I'm only preaching to you today, but that book's your lifeline. That's your book, and you're supposed to devour that. That's what you really need inside your heart. I bet Sister Jean's got a bunch of scriptures that have been flowing through her head since we started talking. No weapon formed against me can prosper, right, Jean? Hallelujah. He wills for us to prosper. And he wills this one beautiful thing. One beautiful thing. You ready for this? And I'll close. I'm sorry. He wills that your joy may be full. You take it to God. That's what he wants for you. On that cross. A picture over there. That's why I always point to that picture. Jesus died on that cross for us. Jesus. On the cross for us, that he would be the mediator, that you can go to God by yourself. Another one of them old things that you learned that were hard to break. You don't need to go to another man to confess what you did with God. Because all sin is against God. So God said, my son is sitting at my right hand. You come to him in his name and you confess your sin to him. He will hear you. But it all started on that cross. It started on that cross. For us. We're using this little piece of cracker. The Bible said he blessed bread and broke it. That's what the Bible said. That's what he did. But you don't have that bread. That bread doesn't exist anymore. So you couldn't have that bread anyway. But you have a cracker. And the Bible said, do this simply in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus said. So we're using this cracker as that bread this morning. And simply remembering what Jesus did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name. Lord, that was good. Or was Lot's wife? I need a little salt on that. Somebody came to our church for a little while. He's a beautiful man. He loves God. And he said to me something I could change. He said, you know, when you do the Lord's Supper, when you do the sacrament of the blood, everybody's supposed, the Bible says you're supposed to go to confession, or you're supposed to confess to God to have clean, to clean, forgive you for your iniquities. You see, he came to me with that, and I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. We have to be in a place to be able to receive that. That's how important this is. That's why every Sunday I say, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. It's a funny word. It just means forgive us for anything. Anything we may have said or done, anything how we treated anybody, any doubts we had, anything that we had in our hearts, Lord, forgive us for those so that you can receive that. You see, he came to his pastor with something I could do, just like, Lord, hear our prayer, and just like reading a song, singing a song. It's that simple. When you come to your pastor, there's something we can fix. So we take this morning, we say, Father God, forgive us for our iniquities this morning, those in this church. Forgive us, Lord. Help us. Lord, we know we fall short daily. We know this is a prayer we're going to have to pray every day, sometimes every hour, but it's okay to pray it because he never told us how many times. He just said, keep praying it and believe. So forgive us, Lord, so that we can receive that this morning in this church in Jesus' name. Cleanse us, Father. Sanctify us and make us holy as we remember Jesus in his name. Somebody comes against you, or somebody talks about your God or your Bible or your beliefs, and it's different than what you believe or what the Bible says, you just say, you need to take it up with God. You take that excuse to God and see how that works. You tell God what your opinion is. You tell God, I'm leaning on your own understanding, knowing that we're created in the womb. The Bible says he knew us before we were formed. So the Bible tells us he knows what that person in that womb, that man or woman, and that boy or girl in that womb is going to do and accomplish. He knows why he's sending that baby to this world. There's only one way for the baby to be created. One way. A man and a woman. Every animal, every forest, every tree, every animal in the world created by a man and a woman. Male, female. So you tell him, I was praying for this, but we decided to do this, and I'm coming back and praying for that again. You take it up with God. It definitely will change your heart and your spirit. It will. It will change who you are. Thank God for our mothers. Thank God for our fathers, wherever, however they treated you. Thank God for your grandmother and your grandfather. Thank God for your great-grandmother and your great-grandfather. On and on. Thank God for every one of them, because that's why you are here, and that's the only reason you are here today. Thank you, Lord, that we are here today. We are here today to receive so many more blessings than we can hold in our hands. The Bible says, shaken and running over when you give to God. So you give that God a chance. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. Please give him praise.